You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche. And I'm here with a guest who's very familiar with the fisheries scene here in town. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, thank you. My name is John Whidden, and I'm the city council and also one of the co-chairs of the fisheries work group.
Okay, so this should be a good show for those who are not familiar with the fisheries council, the fisheries work group, that is, or with the background of fisheries in town. So we're going to kind of start from the first step here, which is, what is the fisheries work group?
Sure, that's actually a good question, and it's a sort of a timely question since there's budget considerations right now, both the city and the borough assembly. And the fisheries work group has been around for around 4 years or so. It was first put together about 4 years ago by resolution of both the city council and the borough assembly. And we put together a resolution to form a work group to, really in short, to take a look at our fisheries and ensure that we, the city and the borough, have a seat at the table when it comes to the regulatory process. And that mainly pertains to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council, but it also means the Board of Fish, IPHC, International Pacific Halibut Commission, and any other regulatory agencies, that we want to make sure that we really have a seat at the table, or at least, if nothing else, that we're advised of what's going on in these various regulatory bodies. And we really hadn't had a vehicle to do that up until about 4 years ago. And given the importance of our fisheries to this community, you know, we're the number three port in the nation in terms of dollar value and pounds landed. So it really only makes sense that that the governing bodies, you know, elected officials, have at least an idea of what's going on, and that there won't be any surprises, because, you know, that any adverse impact to our community would just resound throughout the entire community. So this is really a group of three members of the borough assembly, three members of the city council, who meet at least once a month with the help of an analyst. We'll talk about more about that, just to help us work through a very, very complex process and be apprised of what's going on in fisheries management.
Okay, and so how common is a work group like this in different fishing communities?
You know, we've actually been really, really successful, and it's evolved. When we first started, it was really a very, very low-level effort. We thought we would just sort of fly under the radar, and we would just meet once a month and kind of, first of all, learn the process, because the fisheries management process, particularly at the North Pacific Council, is very, very complicated. If you go and sit there and listen, and there's acronyms that are very hard to understand, there's terms, there's concepts, there's competing interests, and, you know, as an outsider, it's very, very difficult to understand. So when we first put this together, we thought we'll do our best to learn the process and that we can then report back to our respective bodies on any upcoming events. And the interesting point in particular was the Gulf Trawl Bycatch Management motion that's before us on the council right now. So we've actually been reviewing that. But 4 years ago when we first started, it was a very, very low level. But the interesting thing is that the fisheries work group has evolved. And I think evolved, and you've been to meetings, it's evolved to the point where we've become a clearinghouse for information. All the industry participants, insiders show up. We've had people flying in from Seattle, people flying in from the East Coast. We've held community forums down at the convention center and had tremendous amount of interest. And we've become really a focal point for discussion on fisheries issues. And the one thing that we knew from the beginning is on the fisheries work group is that we really cannot get involved in any controversial issues as they pertain to different gear groups or allocative issues. We really can't take sides on that. But what we can do is understand the issues, and when a decision is about to be made, you know, hopefully we can weigh in, if it's appropriate, weigh in with what the community's best interests might be and advocate for those. And we have done those in several cases.
In your experience, does the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, does it respond to communities' input like the kind that the work group is providing?
Well, it does. And actually, I realize I didn't answer your question. It's like, what other communities have these? And, you know, the part I left out that has really, I think, been fascinating to me is that we've actually become a model for other communities. And the answer is no, they don't. Sandpoint has looked at our model that we've created. Dutch Harbor doesn't have it either. None of the other coastal communities I'm aware of have anything like this, where they've generated both resources in terms of tax dollars to pay for an analyst to help us through, plus council member time to sit in these meetings. So there's nothing quite like that. And I forgot what the rest of the question was.
I had also asked if the North Pacific Fishery Management Council does respond or listen to some of the community's input. Can you trace the input in the results?
We can. And we're seeing is certainly with a change in state government, and the state has a very big role to play and is very influential on the council process, even though it's a federal board, federal commission, or the council is a federal council. But the state has a big role to play. And what we're seeing is that we, as we represent a community, that there's been very, very positive feedback to the notion, the idea that a community would come together with common ideas or a common position and bring it forward to the council. And in the past, you know, Kodiak's always had a reputation of coming with a range of, you know, disparate ideas. And we've sort of had the, I think, reputation as not being able to get along with ourselves because there's just competing interests. And that's just the way it is. We have a very, very diverse fishery, probably more so than any community in Alaska. So it's always been very difficult to come with a single point of view. But what we can find is, as representing the community, we can have a single point of view, and we've actually been able to find common ground amongst these competing interests that represents our community in a way that I think has received recognition from all the way from our federal legislators. We've met with Senator Murkowski, Sullivan, and Congressman Young, and had very, very good positive meetings with them. We've met with Sam Cotton and also the Lieutenant Governor, and talked with him on behalf of the Fisheries Work Group, and had extremely positive feedback, so much so, I think, that now the state is actually looking towards us, the community, not specifically the Fisheries Work Group, but the community, to provide input in this fisheries management process, and I think it's going to have a much larger role. We have a larger role to play than we probably envisioned in the beginning.
Can you talk a little bit about the different representatives on the work group and where they come from in the community?
Yeah, right now we have three on the city, and of course Mayor Pat Branson, who is not only the mayor but she's the executive director of the senior center. We have Gabrielle Saravia, who was the production manager at Western Alaska Seafoods for hang on, in 33 years, and then because of me and I've worked in the fishing industry for 16 years at kind of every level. I started a small business. You know, I did everything from hand filleting up until writing the paycheck. So, but ultimately, we grew to a much larger business. So I've managed on the processing side, on the sales side. I've been involved in the council on and off for the last 16 years. And then on the bar side was brand new Kyle Crow, who's new to the work group, and he comes from I think government contracting background. I think everybody knows Larry Ledoux and his background in education. And then Rebecca Skinner, who's an attorney in town and who has been involved in fisheries for 2 or 3 years. So we have a different group. And one thing that I think that I didn't mention that's really important is that when we first were conceived, and it's actually included in our resolution, we came up with 10 key objectives. And what are we trying to accomplish? And those 10 objectives are the ways that we would look to measure outcomes produced by the Fisheries Management Council or the Board of Fish or whoever. How do we evaluate those? And ultimately, it all boils down to that whatever actions are taken, we're going to use those 10 objectives, which are still valid today. And they can be summarized by simply saying, whatever outcomes they are, will they ensure that we have a healthy, vital, working waterfront? And then that's how we measure, how we look at everything. And it also helps us stay away from, I think, more controversial issues about who gets what. I mean, we're not involved with who gets what, but we are involved in saying, when decisions are made, will they help ensure that we have a healthy fishery?
Right. And can you talk a little bit about those objectives?
I don't have them in front of me, but they really, again, it's all summarized. There's measurements in there this was really initially directed at the North Pacific Council because we've included in one of our 10 objectives is some way to measure outcomes. And that's actually one of the reasons why we pushed to get the economic analysis done, is that, you know, we can look at the objectives or look at the outcomes of decisions. And I still believe that it's really important to be able to quantify those outcomes. You know, we can say we like them or don't like them, but if we don't have a basis for rational decision, you know, if it's just a strictly a like or feeling about a decision, then I don't think we're doing the public the best, giving our best effort for the public. I think we have to have a way to quantify outcomes, and that's why that economic analysis will allow us to take a look at if decisions are made, you know, and specifically some of the objectives we looked at, but the decisions are made, say, on consolidation. You know, with if there's a rationalization program put in place, you know, will there be a consolidation, or do we believe there would be a consolidation of the seafood industry, either on the processing side or the harvesting side? You know, what would that mean? What would that look like in terms of population base? How would it impact our tax base? You know, would there be same number of people going to schools because people might have to leave if the industry consolidates? So a lot of it has to do with consolidation. Who owns what, and that's a really controversial issue. Is that on a cash share program right now, one of the real sticking points is would shares of quota of groundfish be given to individual fishermen either for a short period of time or in perpetuity, so they would end up owning a property right? And that's a huge and controversial issue that we can't and probably won't weigh in on. But what we would look at is that one of our objectives is that when the decisions are made, that there's not capital flight from Kodiak. It's that if ultimately shares were given either for a short period or in perpetuity, would that result in essence, people leaving Kodiak and collecting rent out of state? And that's has happened with the IFQ fisheries, halibut, and to a certain degree the crab fishery and even the rockfish fishery. There's people that collect rents from out of town. So we want to make sure that any management program doesn't have a negative impact on us to the extent that we can. So, again, consolidation is a huge concern. There's almost always some consolidation with a rationalized fishery because there's just economies of scale that occur. And sometimes consolidation is not necessarily a bad thing. If somebody is inefficient and there's ways to gain efficiencies that mean that they change their business model so that the industry does shrink some size, then there's a potential that actually would benefit Kodiak. But, again, we can't know that without knowing from a quantifiable way what those things mean. And, again, we're not going to weigh in on specific actions unless we know that there's positive outcomes for the community.
Is the work group mostly a council that gives feedback and kind of weighs in, or does it make action?
Yeah, good question. And I keep saying we will weigh in, and the reality is that we don't weigh in on anything, is that we just advise. But I think some of the newer members, like Kyle, and Larry's been there for over a year now, and Gabrielle will find out that it's a really complicated process, and it requires a commitment of time. And so to really get up to speed, there's a lot of work involved and just, if nothing else, just reading the materials. But then you also have to understand it in the context of the fisheries management process. So when we have a meeting, we report back every month back to the council, the council assembly. And there's only been maybe four or five times, maybe half a dozen times in the last 4 years, where we've gone back to our various respective bodies and said, hey, we believe that we need to write a letter supporting such and such, you know, the 100% observer coverage or something that is coming up. So we do, and that's our role. We actually have no authority. I want to be clear on that. The Fisheries Work Group has no authority. You know, we can deliberate, we can talk about things, and we actually have very healthy discussions in there. But at the end of the day, our only role is to go back to our respective bodies and okay, here's City Council, here's Borough Assembly. This is what we talked about. This was our recommendation, and a really good case in point was the fisheries analyst, the economic analysis that we recommended, that we believe we needed to go forward with that contract and to spend the money because, the outcome was important enough. So we discussed it at the city council level and went through with it, and there was considerable debate on the assembly side, but when it was all said and done, we ended up you know, approving that contract on both sides.
What is the economic analysis and what's its purpose?
We put out an RFP probably almost a year ago, not quite a year ago, to take a look at, first of all, data collection, to collect just a wide range of data. Some of it's readily available, some of it can take some access, but to collect fisheries data, you know, labor data, landings data, and compile it in a way that we can take from that. And it's actually a two-phase process, and probably the second phase will be difficult to achieve because it's much more expensive. But this is baseline data to really give us as a community a feedback on, I think, key areas and pressure points within the industry so that we can determine what outcomes might be from various decisions. And then the second level will actually allow us to get to more of an analytical level, and there's different models that could be used. But the first part is really data collection so that we can, although we know inherently the value of the fishing industry to our community, I think nobody's going to disagree with that, but in today's terms and today's dollars, take a look at what does that industry mean to us, and therefore, you know, what could we anticipate outcomes might be on the various decisions. I know there was some discussion about economic analysis that was done back in 2001, 2002 by McDowell Group, and that was done in response to Stella Sea Lion regulatory change. And while that information is probably somewhat accurate, it was the fishery that we had in 2001, 2002 is completely different than the fishery we have today. That was pre-crab rationalization. So when you look at that analysis that was done in 2001, 2002, interestingly enough, one of the highest dollar ex-vessel value dollar line items was revenue from crab processing here in town. Well, now that's a very, very small percentage of the revenue that's generated in town, and there's much larger areas. Bottom fish and salmon generate far more revenue in town. So, you know, that's why we couldn't really look at information from 15 years ago and say that is relevant today, because it's just simply not relevant. Dollars have changed, gas price, fuel prices have changed, diesel prices have changed. So really what our concern is from Fisheries of Work Group is to ensure that we can continue to support the quality of life we have here in town and by being ahead of any regulatory issues that come up.
So there had been some governmental body or someone who had suggested that we remove the economic analysis from that, from the work group or from the process?
The borough, actually it was a close vote. It was and I think the mayor ended up, Gerald Friend ended up breaking a tie vote on the borough side on that economic analysis. And I understand it's a really, really difficult budget time. I mean, it's certainly don't disagree with their thoughts. I think from the city, we just, if no other reason, the city is where 99% of the fisheries landings occur within the city. You know, the borough has a much broader span. And, you know, we view that for the relatively small amount of money, it's about just under $40,000 that was going to be spent on this analysis, that it would be something, be a valuable tool. And I can say that it was discussion, debate on the city side, because I've seen in the 7 or 8 years I've been on the city council, I've seen a few times, more than I'd like to count, where we've gone out to have a consultant do a study, and that study, at least in my mind, end up collecting dust on a shelf, and we can't afford to do that for a couple of reasons. One is that we can't afford to waste money, and two, the need to collect information is so important that not having a study that's useful would be pushed even further back. So city side, there wasn't any debate. I mean, other than, you know, we did talk about it, we discussed, and the city ended up contributing more money in the borough, because the borough had a cap on what they were willing to spend. So we actually made up the difference.
And I was listening to the last meeting that you had, the work group, and you spoke a little bit about how the budget would affect some of the fisheries issues. Could you talk a little bit about that, about what you discussed, if you remember?
I don't.
Okay, that's fine.
It'd be more specific. I can't remember. It's probably 2 weeks ago.
Okay. So in that case...
Well, if you're talking about the state budget or the city budget?
Whichever.
Okay. Well, I think the concerns we had with state funding obviously is huge. And, you know, state funding can impact the city as the borough as well. And I think everybody's really well aware of that, and really glad to hear Governor Walker here last week talking about his willingness to tackle these issues head on. So at least from our perspective, we view that there'll be less money coming to the city and the borough. So we're going to have to be really, really vigilant on the money we spend, and understanding that our costs are constantly increasing. I mean, the cost to deliver services in Kodiak, and this is something that's amazed me since I've been on the council now for 7 or 8 years, is that we actually have an amazing quality of life here in Kodiak. And I think if you don't stop to think about it because you're busy, you know, living your life like most people are, but just the idea of having it snow and somebody show up at 3 o'clock in the morning to plow your streets, you know, you might expect that, but what it takes to have that snowplow show up, and even, I mean, you can go into more detail on things like this, just our septic systems or other things, and that's not something you really want to talk about too much on the radio, but the reality is the federal and state requirements that go into running wastewater treatment plants and those type of things are just almost mind-boggling, the requirements, and yet we're still able to deliver those services here in Kodiak in a way that's really very efficient, and as though it's expensive, as the cost to deliver those services here in Kodiak is we've actually been able to contain those in a remarkable way. So as money starts to really, the available money starts to shrink from the state and the federal government, you know, we're going to have to continue to monitor those budgets. That's why it was a tough decision on this economic analysis contract, because it was $30,000 that could be put to use someplace else. But the reality is we feel that fisheries are so important to our community that it would be irresponsible not to engage in a more meaningful way in the fisheries management process.
I understand you have an analyst in the work mm-hmm. group. Were they closely associated with the economic analysis?
Just a word on the economic the analyst, rather, fisheries analyst. Our first one was Denby Lloyd, who everybody's familiar with. Denby did a good job for us, and he moved on. And then we put an RFP out and had several people apply, and we hired Heather McCarty, who is very, very well known in the fisheries business and has a long background in fisheries and fisheries management, was very, very familiar with the fisheries management process, especially the council process, because she's been at those meetings for years and years and years. And the reason we brought her on board really was the fact that there's 5 council meetings a year. They last 10 days. There's 50 days. 50 days, and it's just not feasible for any of us as council members or assembly members to attend those in a meaningful way, at least not most of us. And even if we could, the process is so complicated. And it's, you know, council, you know, I always call it council speak. If you go to those meetings, you know, they almost speak in a different language, you know, with acronyms and terms and concepts. And there's relationships that go back for years that you have to sort of penetrate those relationships in order to network and have a meaningful impact. So Heather's able to do that in a very, very, I think, non-confrontational way. And you know, that was one of the things we, you know, she attends these meetings, and while she represents us, and she doesn't advocate for us in one way or another, she's there to really report and report back to us in a timely way. So it's really, really vital that we have somebody engaged in that, because that's, you know, at least as far as our fisheries right now, and the big issues, the ground fish management issues, is that having a presence at those meetings is just vital so that we can actually stay up to speed with what's going on and the changes that occur. And there's so many nuances on just in language alone. You can actually propose a motion, a fisheries motion, and you could change a couple words, and, you know, for me or anybody else that's not that familiar, it would be benign, but it's really what's behind those words and those meanings. And she has the ability to interpret those and report back. So it's vital that we have somebody of her skill level working with us and helping us navigate through the process.
So it seems like she's a bit of a fisheries ambassador. What else does she do? Does she participate in every work group meeting?
Yeah, I wouldn't call her an ambassador. I mean, I think our mayor is that. You know, our mayors are the ambassadors. You know, she doesn't represent us in terms of representing the city, but she's there as a behind-the-scenes worker, in essence. You know, she does the sort of the backroom work behind the scenes, reporting and engaging in conversations. And there's, you know, if you have the chance to go to those meetings, there's just sub-meetings going all over the place, you know. So, you know, she sort of navigates and walks her way through those and picks up pieces of information, you know, just gathers information and reports back to us. So that's really her role. But, she's an ambassador to the extent that people know that she's representing Kodiak, but she... We've only asked her to get up and speak for us when we have somebody else present, like the mayor or one of the mayors or one of the council or assembly members.
I spoke to her a little bit about mm-hmm. that. She explained how she speaks at the council.
By the way, she's English, so...
Yeah, I can hear her.
Glad to have her. Glad to have her. She's not my sister, by the way.
Okay. I was curious if there was a connection.
I always actually refer to her as my younger sister, but it's not true.
I was wondering.
No.
But, yeah, so we have a couple of more minutes. But I guess it's a bit of a tight schedule for you to explain the alternatives that the council is considering. But maybe if you could just explain the recent alternative four, now three.
Sure. Yeah, the council had, up until the last meeting, they had three alternatives for bycatch, trawl bycatch management. And the whole issue really is not so much the alternatives as what's going on, is that there's recognized a need to manage the bycatch issue in the trawl fishery and the groundfish fishery. Right now, we're looking at the trawl fishery, but there's a recognized need to manage bycatch, and the trawl industry is is being constrained right now by bycatch limitations on both halibut and on Chinook salmon. So this bycatch, this trawl bycatch motion that's on the table is being thoroughly analyzed, and there's been proposals or alternatives as to how that bycatch requirements can be better managed. And one alternative one is do nothing. Alternative two is to formalize a catch share, where shares are given out in some form to the individual trawl harvesters. And then the new alternative three, is that the bycatch would be managed by allocating portions of the bycatch to individual boats, which is a different concept, and that's yet to be analyzed. So it's kind of complex. Some of the things are very controversial. We don't know where it's going to end up yet, so I'll be looking forward to the next meeting to see the results of their analysis.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talk of the Rock.